So let's talk about some pre-scaling technical considerations. These are some things that you just want to think about before you actually start scaling up in case you run into problems when you do get an influx of new users. So you've got to ask yourself, is the tech side ready to scale yet? Because you need to be confident that it won't compromise the performance for the existing user base. Even though most Chrome extensions run client-side, and therefore most of the resources are actually dependent on the user's hardware rather than a central server, you may have a back-end server that you make API calls to for specific functionality, or for billing checks, or for permission checks. So you need to test out how scalable your solution is from a few perspectives. So you want to do some load testing to simulate high loads. So if you had 10,000 people install your extension all using it at the same time, would the performance be affected? And if so, what would that degradation look like? And how many users can you support before performance dips below an acceptable level? You'll want to perform stress testing to see how your solution would recover from extreme loads or server crashes. What happens if the Chrome extension can't connect to your server? What happens if the user has no internet? What happens if the server dies? And then finally, you want to carry out volume testing to evaluate that impact of increased data volume. So if you have a backend database, maybe that works fine with a few hundred records, but how does that perform when you've got tens or hundreds of thousands of records? Is there any preemptive work you need to do in that area? So you'll want to test it out beforehand and fix that problem before it becomes a real world problem. The other side of things as well you want to be aware of are the potential scaling costs associated with backend services or API calls. So if your extension calls a particular API and you're being charged for the usage of that API, then you need to figure out how to plan for a cost-effective scaling strategy. Obviously, if you have something like this in place and you're selling lifetime licenses, then every time someone uses your app, they're eating into your profits and maybe will actually end up costing you money in the long term. So think about the APIs that are used in your extension and whether that pricing model scales up. Because in this next slide, I'll tell you about a pricing fail that happened to me with Merch Wizard. So it's certainly something that you want to consider. So I had some unexpected API costs, and I know I'm talking here, but this is just a video of this feature that I'm explaining. And I'll just talk over this now and tell you about this bulk translate functionality that was added to Merch Wizard, which sounds great. We'll just skip the video on a little bit. So here's Merch Wizard here. And what used to happen was there was just English-speaking marketplaces and then Germany. And so we used to have a translate to German option, but then they added the French, Italian, and Spanish marketplaces. And therefore, added this marketplace migrator feature that would allow you to migrate from English to any of these particular marketplaces and options to translate all these fields or just certain ones. And then these would hit go, and it would translate these five fields. So we went from translating five fields to one language to translating five fields to four separate languages. And prior to this feature being released, I was absorbing the Amazon AWS translate costs just from the subscription income that was coming in. You can see it actually running here, translating the fields, populating them. So super useful for the actual user. And you can see it's all been changed into Spanish, French, and everything here. However, from a cost perspective on my side, I'm sure you can appreciate what had happened. The costs had gone from people manually clicking this button to translate to English or translate to German to having this amazing new feature, which they were happy with, but it had more than quadrupled the costs of the AWS Translate service. And of course, more people were using them, and then big users were using it to migrate their entire collections from one marketplace to the other four marketplaces. So it quickly spiraled out of control and into a bit of a nightmare. So I had to do something about it. And what I did in the end was be transparent about what had happened and that I had been absorbing the costs of the translations as part of the monthly subscription, but that this was no longer viable. And then I was actually able to give them some decent options to be able to use AWS, Google Translate, or DeepL, depending on which one they preferred. And each of them had a free allowance for each month. You could use like 1,000 credits or whatever on each one. So I said, you can use your free allowances, but then you'll need to add on any translations beyond that. And the customer base were fine with that. And in fact, they were happy. They had DeepL Translate integrated as well. Some people preferred that premium level of translation as opposed to Amazon AWS and Google Translate, which weren't quite as good at the time. So yeah, that was a lesson in scaling for me, and I had to balance my users' expectations and the financial sustainability. But I think communicating those changes and limitations to them transparently and offering these alternative solutions meant that my users weren't too upset. And I didn't get any serious kickback from that. Everybody largely understood the situation. So the moral of the story is to think about anything that costs you money when your users use it, and have a strategy for what you're going to do if that thing increases and how much the cost could look like, and you want to make it financially sustainable. Okay, that's it for this lesson. And in the next one, we'll be talking about whether the business itself is ready to scale. So I'll see you in the next lesson.